إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره وعليه نتوكل ونعوذ به من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا فمن يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله ختم الأنبياء وأشرف المرسلين وصلواتك وسلامك يا الله على حبيبك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وبعد أتحيتكم بتحية الجنة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال عليه الصلاة والسلام أكثر الصلاة علي يوم الجمعة فصلوا عليه in the nasiha in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he had said that the day of which you would send the most salawat alayhi, the most salawat upon me is yawm al-jum'ah. So as part of our day of jum'ah, as part of our adab towards the yawm al-jum'ah, we should dedicate some time to send salawat ala nabi, just as simple as Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. It doesn't have to be very complicated, but we should remember that this is the advice from Khayr al-Khalq, from the best of creation, and that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has told us that not only is this just something nice to do, but there is an ajr in sending salawat ala nabi, Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Inshallah, linabda al-khutbah al-yawm بقراءة من كتاب الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى. This is the point that I want to embark upon today. The idea that Islam has become something difficult for us, or it seems to have become something difficult for us amidst all the hype in the media, that now Islam is really under a microscope, it's under a magnifying glass, and it seems that Islam can't even manage to keep out of the headlines, even if it wanted to buy ad space for somebody else to take its place. And in this, I'm reminded of this from Surah Taha, where Allah, Dhul Jalali wal Ikram, said, revealing to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, you know, ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشفى. We didn't reveal this Quran to you to make you miserable. And yet, right now, a lot of Muslims are feeling a little bit miserable about the current state of affairs. And we have to realize, as Allah comforted his Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, illa tadhkiran liman yakhsha. It is only a reminder for those that choose to show khushu or have some type of, you know, yakhsha, those that fear their Lord. Tanzeela mimma khalaqa al-ardha was-samawati al-'ala. That it is also from the one that created the heavens and the earth and the heavens upon high. This is something we forget about Quran, is that yes, it deals with all of these transcendent issues. It deals with cosmology, right? You know, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ. So on and so on. It deals with these huge things, and yet, because we have forgotten about the humanity of Habibullah, we have forgotten about the humanity of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and that he didn't have a choice. And choice is the theme, inshallah, of today's khutbah that I'm going to try to elucidate a little bit. But I want to touch on both something that's amidst our lives right now, that's going on with the whole business of the masjid that's at ground zero, but that's not at ground zero, and it's a masjid, but it's not a masjid, and all those other things are going on, and suddenly now Islam is being looked at. And then not only that, but the Muslims themselves can't agree. Certain parties are saying, hey, why did you exclude us from this? You know, you guys are making decisions about what's going on, but one party of Muslims is excluded from another party. So it is fitting in a way that the Muslims are a little bit miserable right now. But if we turn back to the Quran, and this is why it really becomes clear that as a community, yeah, we have a few people here and there, but by and large, as a community, we do not have an intimate relationship with this book. We do not have an intimate relationship with this man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't have an intimate relationship with this being. Because Muslims have flown off and suddenly are terrified and don't know how to react intelligently and with composure when suddenly a difficult situation comes along. If we really had an intimate relationship with Islam, with the Book of Islam, with the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm not saying we wouldn't be upset about certain things, but we wouldn't be as if we were, you know, struck such a blow, you know, like in boxing. If you hit somebody very quickly right in their solar plexus, you can stun them. Even the biggest guy, Mike Tyson, Muhammad Ali, if you catch the right boxer when he's off his step, you can stun him and they won't know how to react. It reminds me of the fight between Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson all those years ago. And I look at these things, and I don't talk about them because it's funny, but really even these things remind me of my religion. Small things, right? Tazkiran liman yakhsha. It is something to remind us, and it's not that it has to be something that is solely attached to the text. That we have become, for lack of a better word, empiricists. Now those of you in the scientific fields will know what I'm saying, what empiricism is. But for those of you that aren't quite as familiar, the idea of empiricism means that you cannot base your decision on something unless you can extrapolate it from its source. That you cannot say A, B, or C about a certain chemical compound or a certain mathematical injunction unless you can, through the sensoria or some type, you can extract it. And that we have become, instead of mu'min, we've become like an archaeologist. That we look at Islam as something of which the only way that we can derive meaning and the only way we can come to decisions about things going on in our current circumstance is if we dig in the dirt, so to speak, of Islam. We go back to so-called traditional texts. And this is something that really disturbs me about modern pedagogy in Islam that I see. You have all these different institutions cropping up and saying they're teaching quote-unquote traditional Islam. But what does that mean? What is the ishara of that? What does traditional point to? And what does tradition give me to deal with what's going on right now, 2010, Philadelphia? How does that give me the ability to encounter my environment and all of the variables that I will be tossed at? And it is الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It is the one that created the heavens and the earth. It is tossing all these scenarios to us. And this isn't to go to the other extreme, unfortunately, with other people nowadays to say, you know what, the problem with Islam is this whole scholarship thing. That we have to toss out scholarship and just use ijtihad, although they have really bastardized this term ijtihad to the point that it no longer even remotely resembles what it means. So on one end, we're caught in the mustanka, we're caught in the quagmire of our tradition, or we're so terrorized by what that is, and we don't have the creativity and the intelligence to engage it, We're just going to get rid of it altogether. So what I really want to try to touch on today is this idea of choice. Now, it was interesting. I was reading a tafsir by Ibn Abi Hatim, rahimahullah, a very famous early scholar of Islam who wrote a tafsir. And he quotes one of the companions of the Prophet, Qutada, in which he said, لا والله ما جعله الله شقيا. He said, I swear by God that God did not make him, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, miserable. And this was not his objective. ولكن جعله رحمة ونورا ودليلا إلى الجنة. Again, he said, and this is one of the companions of the Prophet radiallahu anhu was saying, that God, Allah did not, indeed, is a commentary on this verse, that Allah did not send Islam, so to speak, to make the Prophet miserable, and then by vis-a-vis his community, the Muslims, miserable. But instead, he sent him to be a mercy, and to be a light, and to be a proof of Al-Jannah. And we forget sometimes what we're doing here. When we got up this morning and we made ghusl and we ate something and we left the house and we went to our job, we went to our classes, and we had in the back of our mind, I have to go to Jum'ah today, so we had the intention to go to Jum'ah and we came here. But that's not the end. It's a means. When we came here today, yes, as a man, it is wajib upon me, it is incumbent upon me to come to Jum'ah. Absolutely no argument about this whatsoever. But when you look at the maqasid of the Sharia, if you look at the aims and the objectives of the Sharia, and I'm going to touch on this word a little bit again, is that it's not just that we come here, and okay, you make Jum'ah and then you go, but we are on a journey back to Allah. Constantly. You are in a constant state of returning to Allah. You're either on the way or you're there. Meaning that you've already passed and you're in the maqbar, you're in the qabr, in the grave. So if we ain't dead, we're on the way there. Everything that we do must be imbued with this idea that I am returning to my Lord and I'm going to have my hisab. I will be told what I did do. I will be told what I didn't do. I will be told with what I put forth and what I left off. So even when we are trying to do these things, it's not just a simple matter of these are the maqasid of the Sharia, ABC, Alif Bata, 1, 2, 3, going mindlessly about just doing these things. Because anybody here, brother teaches Arabic, he can tell you the word Sharia, Shara'a, what does Shara'a mean? Does it mean in its roots law? Right? We have another word, Qanun, or Qanun. We have another word that means law, that's more close to it, of Qanun. But Shara'a, like when you go out on the street, we call what we call a street in Arabic. Shara'a. That's what we call it. Because it's, what does a street do? It takes you somewhere. It takes you somewhere. Every road has a destination, finally somewhere. You know, if you get on 80 West, you'll end up in San Francisco. Eventually, that's the end of that road. And that's the ultimate place that you can go to. The Sharia has in mind with Bani Adam, this is the path, if you stay on it, that not only will you reach me, because it doesn't matter, you will reach me. Allah is saying, you will get to me. But you can either choose to get to me, with me being pleased with you, or you can choose to get to me, and I ain't so happy about you. This is what it means when we call the irada shar'iyya, irada kawniyya, all these terms that you can ask me about later. But we don't look, even when we look at things that are just what we call irada kawniyya, things that Allah makes that might on first blush appear to actually contradict the amr of Allah. Right? Because it is what hurrimat alaykum al-maytah wal khanzir. Right? The khanzir is haram for us. And yet, who created khanzir? But it's the choice. Allah has told us what hurrimat alaykum. He gives us the points. It's now up to us to say, I will either obey or I will disobey. And in my obedience to you, I will earn your favor. Because as we know, when we return to Allah, nobody enters Jannah illa bi rahmatihi, except for His mercy. And the companions became terrified when they heard this. They said, Ya Rasulullah, wa ant? O Messenger of Allah, and you too? Yes, and me too. If the best of creation, the one that was sent to warn all of us, that whose past and future sins were forgiven during his lifetime, if that's the deal that he has, what do we have? It's about choice. The choices that we make, and not just the big choices. Almost 19 years ago, I made a big choice. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That was my big choice 19 years ago. But it doesn't stop there. It goes forward. Every day, this is why innal a'malu binniyat. Every day, your actions are based on your intentions, such that even if you don't complete the action, even if you don't complete the action, you still have the ajr. You still have a reward. If I intend in Dhul Hajj, inshallah, to go make Hajj, and the plane goes down, I will, inshallah, have the reward because it was my intention to go. And we even have the rahmah that Allah says that even for the one that has the intention to do something evil, but fails to complete the deed, then it's not written for him. It's only when we have the intention to do something evil and we actually complete the action, then Allah will write one sayyah in our kitab. Choice is monument. And right now, this community in America, these Muslims, we have a choice to make. Because the predicament that we're in right now is because we've made some bad choices, to be quite frank. We've made some bad choices, and this isn't pointing the finger because the people say, oh, you know, you're always pointing the finger at one person, one group. No. This is everybody. Black American, white American, Arab, Pakistani, Malaysian. We all have come to this point, and we have all collectively made poor choices. We are going to have to make some better choices, inshallah. And how do we know about this idea of choice in Quran? There's a certain language in Quran that alludes to this idea of choice, and more importantly, the consequence of choice, of what choice you choose to make. And there's certain words, or really certain almost particles, like thumma, fa, ulaika. When you see or hear these words, you should perk your ear and say, ah, there's an injunction here. There's an injunction here. And therefore, I need to see what is at this injunction. Because there will usually be a fork to the right, and there will usually be a fork to the left. And we all know the right-hand side and the left-hand side. But just to continue, that in Surah Al-Balad, Allah says, ثُمَ كَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْمَرْحَمَةِ أُولَٰئِكَ. Right? أُولَٰئِكَ. أصحاب الميمنة. That he tells us, right? And we'll go actually before this, but he's saying that then they will be amongst those that encourage or command to the way of patience, which really suffers more like perseverance, and with mercy. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ. Then they are the people of the right-hand way because of the choice that came before it. فَلَقَ تَحَمَلْ عَقَبَةً. Allah is saying to us, what choice are you going to make? Are you going to take the aqaba, the high road, the ascending road, the difficult road? You can take the easy road, but that's going to get you somewhere else. Which doesn't mean that we misinterpret the more difficult we make this deen for ourselves, and most importantly, how we try to make it difficult for our fellow brothers and sisters equates piety. That is not piety. But Allah is saying clearly, there are things that will garner my pleasure and there are things that will not. And that if you want to garner my pleasure, you're going to have to sweat a little bit. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to show me. You're going to have to show me. Right? And then what? He gives us a laundry list. Right? He gives us a laundry list after this of where he tells us, فَلَقَدْ حَمِلْ عَقَبَةً وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَةُ فَكُّ رَقَبَةً. You want to know what the high and difficult road is? I'm going to tell you. Free a slave. أَوْ يَتِيمًا ذَا مَقْرَبَةً. Or an orphan. أَوْ مِسْكِينًا ذَا مَقْرَبَةً. Or somebody that is downtrodden, like in the dust. That is what Al-Aqaba is. That is the way of pleasing Allah, of taking Al-Aqaba. We have a very high road to hoe right now. If we want to be able to turn this thing around. And we have to also not get caught up in the dominant hype. Because as much as the guy wanted to burn the Quran in Florida, and Glenn Beck and all these other people, and I know the young people here will know this because of YouTube. There was this guy in Florida that actually went to somebody that was going to burn the Quran, and he snatched it out of his hand and he said, what? Come on, I know somebody here knows this. That's why you're going to laugh. Dude, you have no Quran. The young people here know this. You've seen the video on YouTube. And they made a song about it. Dude, you have no Quran. This is a non-Muslim that came out in defense of Islam. They said, no, not on my watch will you abuse these people. And may Allah guide him. You have to not get caught up in the dominant hype. I just attended a lecture yesterday where a Jewish woman put together a small little reading that invited a Muslima author to come and share some facts about the new book that she wrote. Yes, a Jewish woman put together a reading for a Muslim here. When are we going to repay the people that are coming out and are saying, you know what? I'm going to invest some capital in you as Muslims. But you know what? When people invest, they want a return. I know, because my money's not long. Some of y'all got real long money. My money's not that long. So when I put my money out, I want a return. And whether that's my capital, or my human capital. When I get involved in something, I want some return. When will we give the people that are supporting us, when will we give them a return on their investment? By being responsible to this religion and being responsible to this legacy of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the very, very difficult questions that we have to ponder. Inshallah, in the second part of the khutbah, I will try to put together some more ideas and a framework for us to think about how to make this happen. First, رَبَّنَا اِغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا وَعَافِنَا وَاعْفُ عَنَّا فَأَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. So as I said, these are some examples that I gave, like for instance in Surah Al-Balad, where Allah gives us the idea of positive choice. And then there is, of course, the negative consequences of doing so. And that even when we encounter such negative consequences, we have to remember, see, part of having iman and part of being a Muslim, right? Salim means you're sound, you're secure, right? Just not anything is going to come on you. You see some things that will disturb you. It doesn't mean that we become agnostic to what happens around us. But we have to remember, first and foremost, Islam has already succeeded. Khalas. Islam has already succeeded. So stop acting like you have an inferiority complex. Because it's already succeeded. Muhammad raised the banner of La ilaha illallah. Done. Just play your part. Some of us have big parts to play. Some of us have little parts to play. But I'm telling you right now, movies, Brad Pitt don't make movies by himself. Brad Pitt probably don't know nothing about moving lights around, plugging in electronics, catering, cutting film, loading film. All he knows is to show up and look good. That's the kind of role I'm looking for. But we all have a role to play. And in that, it means you can't have a set full of directors and you can't have a ship full of captains. And sometimes, even if you are perceived as being a captain, if the boat is sinking, maybe you just need to also bail water. Maybe you need to row a little bit. And don't get so caught up in the fact that, you know, I don't do that. Well, if that's what the situation requires, you do that. So we have to remember that we have to be able to work together. And that we can't just say, oh, the problem is a lack of Muslim leadership. We are all kind of leaders, but most of us don't want to be led. So there is a great measure of responsibility on, yes, being an imam and being a leader is also a great responsibility of being led. Meaning that if I get in front of you, and this way is Qibla, and I'm the imam, and I turn this way, Allahu Akbar, you're not going to follow me. At least I hope not. SubhanAllah. That's what the response should be. There is a responsibility on the imam and on the ma'amun. These are simple concepts, but we forget about them because, again, we do not have an intimate relationship with Islam. Ramadan is gone. And it's very apparent that it's gone. But we got to do something between now and the next Ramadan. Because for one, we don't even know we're going to be here next Ramadan. And if we are here in this Ramadan, we don't know what state we will be in next Ramadan. There's a lot of work to get done between now and next Ramadan. We have to remember that this is not just simply waiting around, because the clock is ticking and we are always being watched. Kiraman katibin. Kiraman katibin. Ya'lamuna ma taf'alun. We are constantly being observed. What we do is written and recorded. And while it might be trivial to us, which is amazing, I was reading a work by another traditional scholar, and he was on his deathbed and he began to weep. So of course his students came to him and, yeah, Sheikh, why are you crying? And he said, I'm not crying because I'm afraid of dying. I'm crying because I'm going to go meet Allah. And they shook their heads, like, wait a minute. Why, you know, I mean, you're the sheikh, right? You should be ready to go. And he's like, I'm worried that during my life, I may have taken something that I did as inconsequential, but Allah took it as very great. Man on his deathbed, but what could he do at that point? He ought to be it for the leave. That's about it. There was no time for him to rectify his deeds. We have to remember that we are being watched. Not by the nation state necessarily, although I'm sure that's going on too. And let them watch. Let them watch. We, if we're doing what's right, we ain't got nothing to hide. Which doesn't mean that we can't be critical when it's time to be critical. And in fact, this country is in sore need of loving criticism. Not by people that have their imagination 5,000 miles away and don't have their human and economic capital sunk into the reality here. But people are like, no, I ain't got nowhere else to go. This is where I am from. This is where I will be. And therefore, I have to act responsibly. And yeah, you know what? I am going to critique so-and-so or this organization or even this government and say, yo, this is wrong. Oppressing people or whatever it is. Yes. You shouldn't be caught up in the dominant hype and being so terrified, right? I mean, how do you think Musa alayhi salam felt? Idhab, right? Idhab ila Fir'aun. Innahu tagha. Go to Fir'aun. He has gone beyond our bounds. And Musa's like, go to who? This cat built pyramids. He's got an army. What you want me to do? All I got is a staff. Idhab ila Fir'aun. It means that you go also with a level of humility. And you go with the security, Islam has already succeeded. We as Muslims may not have succeeded, but Islam has already succeeded. And we need to cut out this nonsense of acting like we have some type of, you know, inferiority complex. And we do actually have an inferiority complex. So we need to work on what it means to deal with having an inferiority complex. Because when you operate as a person that has an inferiority complex, that is self-loathing, and has no confidence, let me tell you, I come out of the Black American experience. It don't work. You have to have a sense of self and confidence and purpose. And the only thing, and this is my message to fellow Black American non-Muslims, the only thing that gives the human being dignity and a sense of self and a sense of security is God, is Allah. Anything else, لا في خسر ولا أصر. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالصبر وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. The only thing that will give the human being security is foundational and practical belief in God. That's it. Nothing else. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I wanted to touch on a couple of other things. So I will just wrap up with the central theme of choice. We have a choice of al-aqaba. And if we are going to ascend this high and difficult road, let me tell you, I don't want to do this alone. I need you, and I might dare say that you may even need me. And we need each other. We must put aside petty differences. This brother's a Hanafi, this brother's a Maliki, hands are up, hands down. Let me tell you, Sarah Palin don't care if you a Salafi, a Sufi, if you a Hanbali or a Maliki. You don't care. You're just a Muslim. Serious. You think Glenn Beck is like, well, you know, I see that, you know, in the Hanafi madhab, they have certain injunctions that are just really not quite compatible. Muslim, got to go. And we over here arguing about beards, pants, hijab. Because those are things that a person has to work out between them and their Lord. That doesn't mean, people ask me all the time, Assalamu alaikum, do you really think that a woman should wear hijab? Yes. Does that mean that I will not deal with a Muslim woman that doesn't wear hijab? No! Does that mean I won't deal with a woman that doesn't wear hijab all the time? No! When the Prophet had to leave Mecca, he had to leave to flee because they were trying to kill him, he and Abu Bakr. The man that they left with, was he a Muslim or was he a mushrik? His name was Abdullah. I always love this. A young Muslim sometimes, oh, his name was Abdullah, he's a Muslim. And before Islam, lots of people in the Hijaz were named Abdullah, and they were mushrikun, straight up idol worshippers. When Quraysh came to take the Prophet's life and he left, he went to the man that could get the job done. He didn't go to him and say, are you a Muslim? Because I've heard that you're the best tracker around and you know all the ways, but are you a Muslim? Well, no, actually, you know, here's my idol. Find me somebody's a Muslim. He's like, yo, man, I got to go. Because they want my neck. We have to stop letting labels do all of our decision-making from us. Which doesn't mean, you think for one instance that Habibullah was like, man, this dude is a straight-up Muslim. And if you don't leave that stuff alone, man, you're going to be in the fire. You think that's what he thought? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. So we ask Allah to make us the people of intelligence, the people that are the warithin of the deen, the people that inherit this deen for what it is trying to direct Bani Adam to do, which is to worship Allah without any partners. And to follow His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, ighfir lana dhunubana wa irhamna wa afina wa afu anna wa aftah lana kitabak wa aftah lana أبواب رحمتك والصلاة والسلامك على خير النبيين محمد وعلى آله وأزواجه وأصحابه وأنصاره وذريته أجمعين وأقيم الصلاة